You press the, oh.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light from our home, your home. I'm Reverend Millich Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. Always remember that right after the service, we have a Zoom fellowship where you get a chance to interact with other members of Unity and hear some great music. Yeah. So please be a part of that. And you can find the link for that if you do not have it already in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Welcome, Unity family. Good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October 17th. The key words are world peace, and the affirmation is, I am peaceful. I am a peaceful presence to all. Peace in the world begins with me. I consider it a sacred responsibility to respond to all people and circumstances peacefully. I forgive myself for those moments I am less than peaceful and quickly return to the peace of God in my heart. I am a living expression of God, just as all people are. My tranquil bearing inspires peacefulness wherever I go and with everyone I meet. Each day I join like-minded people everywhere in a renewed commitment to be a presence of peace. I give thanks that as each of us communicates God's love in our unique ways, peace and harmony are established in individuals, families, communities, and among nations throughout the world. The scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11, and it reads, "Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the good of God and love will be with you." And now we will have our Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thanks, hon. So, I wonder how many people have been thinking about this title, if you've seen it ahead of time. Imbued rather than construed. Right? How you like those apples? I mean, what do you think that means? I know a lot of people saying, what is he talking about, you know, with this idea? And the subtitle is Accepting Your Divine Appointment. So, we're going to talk about those two concepts. So, let's take a closer look at the words imbued and construed from a perspective of how they affect our understanding of our spiritual nature and the presence of the divine within us. Okay, so the concept behind the word imbued is to inspire or permeate with a feeling or quality, as in the statement, you are divine. Okay, so that statement has a very deep meaning to it that really goes beyond what our intellect sometimes can comprehend. It is one thing to hear that you are divine, and you know, let it get caught up in your intellect, which it typically happens. You know, you've been hearing that for a long time. You are divine, but if it gets caught in your intellect, it just doesn't have the impact that it really is designed to make. It's very different experience to allow this divine idea to permeate every fiber of your being, causing you to know beyond the limitations of your intellect. Okay? So that's the kind of the idea of imbued. It transcends the intellect. One definition used for the word is influencing, as if dying the spirit. Now, this dying is spelled D-Y-E-I-N-G, dying, like when you dye cloth. Okay, so this is, you know, use the word, it's influencing as in dying. I mean, you really are changing the nature of your spirit. And the spirit being, our spirit being, our personal spirit, that being having that idea recolored from the personal self to the God self, okay? Because basically we're operating a lot of times now, most of the time, from our personal self. We're talking about having this spiritual idea is having such a great influence that it recolors our nature from personal self to God self. So imbued has a sense of permanence to it. You know, that's the idea of dying, you know, the D-Y-E-I-N-G. It's a process by which you allow yourself to be transformed by a serious commitment to a specific process. For example, to be imbued with a spiritual ideal is to grasp the reality of a spiritual ideal beyond the limits of intellectual interpretation. So to be imbued with a spiritual ideal is to be moved beyond what you think it is, okay? To an inner knowing in your being where you come to know what it is, okay? And from the Gnostics, if we were looking, working with Gnosticism, you know, they look at concept of spiritual ideals like that with experience. They blend those two together to get that inner knowing. So the concept behind this other word, construed, it's more of an intellectual process in which your intellect, you interpret spiritual ideas from an intellectual understanding. It's more about what you think a concept is as opposed to what it actually is from a deep sense of inner knowing that's beyond, again, the limitations of the intellect. And for many, it starts with construing or interpreting what we believe about our spiritual nature. So we hear a spiritual idea, you know, words of Jesus or some other spiritual principle, and we have a tendency to construe what we think it means, okay? But once we put in the prayer work, the contemplation work, and the application, okay, the application of spiritual principles in our lives, we move from construing what we believe to be spiritually true about ourselves to being imbued with a greater knowing of what is the spiritual truth of you and me. Okay. Now, much of our search for spiritual truth leads us to a church or a spiritual community where what is construed as the truth resonates with where we presently are in our thinking. Okay. And this is especially true for Unity and other New Thought organizations, because Unity and other New Thought organizations have a tendency to attract the unchurched and the dechurched, the ones who are searching for a truth that is different from other religious experiences, a truth that resonates with their spirit. And I can see that about most of us in Unity, that's what we were searching for, and we found Unity, which was a truth that resonated with our spirit. So in the book, Purpose-Driven Life, which has a flavor of that book throughout the talk, he pointed out that typically we construe the beliefs of a particular church from a point of view of how well can that church fulfill our needs. What the church believes, how well can it fulfill our needs? So we look for the perfect church, and I said this last week, with the perfect people doing things just the way we want them to be done, right? However, this method of evaluating a church home makes us prone to be disappointed because, as the author points out, and again, like I said last week, there is no perfect church and there are no perfect people. The idea behind the concept of church is for folks to come together with a willingness to help each other work through the stuff that prevents us from discovering and living from our indwelling divine reality. So perfection is something that must be imbued rather than construed, meaning it must be inspired rather than explained. You cannot behold perfection in others, and you know probably what I'm getting ready to say, until you are inspired to behold that perfection within yourself. Just like you cannot behold the Christ in others until you are inspired to behold the Christ within yourself. And again, to be inspired by the truth is to be imbued with the truth. As we have said so many times before, to be imbued by truth is to reach a state of consciousness where you know that you know that you know. Okay, not because you read it or heard it or, you know, intellectually think you know. To be imbued with truth is to be influenced so deeply the whole nature of your being is recolored and elevated. Okay? And the idea of being imbued rather than construed can be compared to the idea that beholding is much deeper than seeing. Okay? So when we see imperfections in ourselves and in others, it's something we do with our judgmental ego mind. But when we are spiritually mature and spiritually inspired enough to truly behold the Christ in ourselves, our ego, with all of its imperfections, is lifted up into perfecting the perfecting influence of the light of Christ. And let me say that again. So when we can behold the Christ in ourselves, truly behold the Christ in ourselves, our ego, with all of its imperfections, is lifted up into the perfecting influence of the light of Christ. And then and only then are we truly able to behold the Christ in others. Okay, so this requires a major leap in consciousness that is augmented by the support of a spiritual community. Okay, a lot of times when we're working with these spiritual ideas, we want to be able to do them with a spiritual community. I was sharing that one of my goals is to, I found a couple of universities that teach advanced spiritual metaphysics. I'd like to be part of that community to even up my level of understanding of these ideas. Okay, so again, this requires a leap in consciousness. You really want to be part of a spiritual community, a spiritual family that will love you right where you are while you are seeking the Christ light within yourself. And with the onslaught of the pandemic, the nature of church has evolved from gathering in a specific place to connecting virtually from any place. Okay? And you get to choose the space and the place from which you connect with your church family. All right? Meaning that as long as you can get to a computer or something that will help you connect, you're able to do that. However, traditional church goes through metamorphosis, which it is, with no predictable outcome. We don't know really what traditional church is going to look like as it continues to evolve from the pandemic. And as we have learned, this change in church has been happening for decades. And we don't really know what the outcome is going to be. We still now though have the opportunity to find our place of service in the church that resonates with our need to be of service. So when we're talking about, you know, being part of a spiritual community, we don't want to just be part of it. We want to be part of serving within that community. That's what helps us to really get involved in, the ideas that they're teaching that we really find to be touching our own spirit. And all during the pandemic, you know, here at Unity, there have been folks in our church who have been serving in many ways. Keep the High Watch, Course in Miracles, the Unity Book Club, Youth and Family Ministries, Wednesday night classes, the board, pastoral care team, chaplains, the video and sound folks. The ones you don't know that people have been putting the videos from YouTube over to Facebook, and the sound person has been taking the sound out and putting it as a recording up on our website. So, you know, all these people have been working all through the pandemic. So virtual does not negate being of service. Virtual does not negate connecting with each other. And in many ways, virtual has enhanced our ability to connect and share our gifts with each other more often than we normally would have, right? I keep hearing folks talking about, you know, they attend church now more often, you know, virtually than they did when we were in person, in face-to-face. Because when we think of traditional church back in the day, all you had basically was, you know, to come and gather in a place. And that's what, you know, church was for many of us. But that modality has been, like I said, dying for many, many years. Okay. So what has happened during the pandemic is really given more people the opportunity to attend church more often from the comfort of their own home or wherever they may be. So those who have been serving all through the pandemic have been able to do so because the effort it takes to gather someplace was no longer an issue. We were all, you know, put here imbued with certain gifts that are needed to create balance and harmony in the world. And a big part of our journey on the spiritual path is for each of us to discover what has God designed us to do in this life experience. So in the purpose-driven life, the author says, you were shaped by God to serve. This means there is something special about you, something the universe specifically designed within you as a gift that you are to share with the world. It's your own unique way of serving others. And let's admit that this theory may not be typical of how we always think, because you know, each of us have our own legitimate needs, ways in which we need others to serve us, you know, that can help us to feel loved, appreciated, cared for. And I admit that our needs are legitimate, but it does not negate the fact that we have been endowed with our own unique way of serving. Okay? So St. Francis recognized that we may not be able to even have a desire to serve. Okay? So he gave us this, you know, you might say, well, I want to serve, but I don't really understand how to do that. Okay? Well, he gave us this prayer to help us discover our gift and how to use it. Okay? And he did it by asking for help in prayer. And this is what he said. Now, many of you are familiar with this. He said, O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. See, not so much seek to be served as to serve, right? To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love. For it is in giving that I receive, it is in pardoning that I am pardoned, and it is dying to myself that I am born to eternal life. Okay? So that last statement is the key to our being able to fulfill our spiritual mission. St. Francis prayed, it is in dying to myself that I'm born to eternal life. Okay? Now, as long as we keep thinking it's all about me, about my needs, about how you can console me, understand me, love me, forgive me, you know, make me feel appreciated, as long as this is the focus of our emotions, our purpose in life will continue to be about personal gain instead of spiritual gain. And I do realize that a lot of us are not like that. But I also realize that a lot of us are just like that. And that statement applies to the same group of folks. No matter what group of humans we are, find ourselves in, we are referring to, we are all in transition from our ego needs to God. Okay? So we're both in that category where we need things done for us to help us to feel complete. But we're also in that space where we feel the urge to serve others and help to fulfill their needs. Okay, and we're in transition between those two dynamics. It's just that some of us realize it and some of us do not. Some of us realize we're in transition and some of us do not. And yes, I do realize that this spiritual process seems at times to be counterintuitive and contrary to what we believe to be normal behavior and a normal state of mind. But in this study, we're learning some very real, very doable methods for escalating our consciousness to a place imbued with the understanding of the spiritual life, all right? And that is what the spiritual path is all about, that being self-discovery, trying to understand the answer to the question, who am I really, okay? This is a process we're all going through. And there's a theological practice called kenosis. I first heard about it from M. Scott Peck, kenosis. And I think I spoke about this years ago. Kenosis is defined as a process of emptying, of self-emptying, okay? Self-emptying, emptying ourselves of the ego self, okay? Now, in Christian theology, kenosis, the act of emptying, is demonstrated by Jesus when he emptied himself of his own will so that he could become entirely receptive to God's divine will. Now, think about it. Our spiritual journey is about the battle of the ego self to maintain its position of dominance as we strive for spiritual enlightenment. Okay, that's sort of what we're going through. Back to what I used to talk about. Deep space of warp, said the greatest battle we fight is the battle within ourselves. Okay, and this is how M. Scott Peck explained that. He said, in doing battle against the struggle of my own personality to remain in power I am, in effect, attempting to practice kenosis, trying to get myself out of my own way. Okay. And Jesus gave us an example of kenosis through his life and teachings. As he said in Matthew 20:28, even I, the Son of Man, did not come here to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for the many. Okay. And we're going to talk about a young man who will help you to understand this idea of give my life as a ransom for the many, meaning things that I do affect many others. Things that I do to serve affect many others. And right in your own personal backyard, so to speak. You know, it's not that you have to be a nationally known person or whatever, but it's right in your own environment. Things that you do are like a ransom. You're giving your life as a ransom for others. And Jesus knew that the only way we could believe that his life and his teachings are an example for us to follow is if he went through the same experiences we do while being able to keep his personal self in check so that the Christ could radiate and express through him. So this is what Paul was referring to in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are tested, yet without sin. So like Jesus, you and I have been put here to heal and evolve by using the special gifts God gave us to be of service. Right? And yes, I do realize that many of us have our own special circumstances that need to be taken care of, like I was saying earlier, whether it's physical, emotional, or psychological. But no matter what our special circumstance, it does not free us of our divine obligation to share our gift with others. Okay? And we see this in the life of Matthew Joseph Thaddeus Stepanek, known affectionately as Matty. I don't know how many people have heard of him. I think Patty was saying that youth program they've used his name. But he's an American poet who published 7 best-selling books before his death at the age of 13. Okay, and at that time, he had already become known as a peace advocate, a motivational speaker, and a philosopher before 13 years old. And this is what he said about being of service. He said, I accept that we each are here for just a brief time in the grand scheme of things, and that life is a fragile and blessed treasure. But I wish for the world a moment during which we all realize the angels we can be for others if we believe in the celebration of every day. Isn't that powerful coming from a 13-year-old, all right? And this young soul who, even though most of the time he was in pain, struggling to hold on to life, still was able to transcend his own pain, his own self, and give his gift to the world. Now, Maddie's mother was asked, how did she deal with her children dying of this horrible disease? And I wasn't going to even attempt to say the disease to you. It was a horrible, incurable disease that Maddie and his 3 siblings all died from. Okay. So Maddie's mother was asked, you know, how did she deal with all of her children dying of this horrible disease? And this is how what she responded. She said, the easy choice is to be frustrated, depressed, angry, bitter. The more difficult, but more rewarding choice is to do something positive with whatever life gives you. Okay, now we know where Maddie got his brilliance from. And Maddie was also asked in an interview, all right, if his rare disease, and listen carefully, if his rare disease made him angry, hurt, scared, or frustrated. And he said, yes, you know, to those feelings. But then this 13-year-old said this. He said, being angry and sad are the easiest responses. And even though they are natural and okay, it is so important not to get stuck in those responses. They waste energy if you get stuck in them. But if you open your heart and mind to brighter things and to the everyday angels, somehow life is good, even when it is hard. So 13-year-old Maddie chose to serve others and had an impact on the lives of people around the world in spite of his own pain. and through his poetry and positive attitude, he ministered to others. Similarly, you have heard it said that we all are ministers. We say that quite often. And we minister to each other. Because when you're serving others, you're ministering to them. It is more than just the pastor's job to be the minister. It is a job of every one of us to minister to each other through the gifts we have been imbued with by Spirit. And again, the author Rick Warren said, God has a ministry and a mission for you in the world. Let me say that again. God has a ministry and a mission for you in the world. And discovering and pursuing that ministry mission is another way of worshiping. Discovering what your ministry or mission in the world is another way of worshiping. All right, and the very idea of worship is to invite others to come and join in the spiritual exhilaration of those who are already worshiping together, okay? And so when we invite people to come, we're putting out on YouTube, we're trying to find other ways of getting the message out. It's on YouTube, on Facebook, and looking at other ways of getting a message out. We're inviting people to come in and worship with us. And, you know, whenever you do that, you know, and worship with people, even in this virtual environment, you are serving, you know, others. So if you think about the small group ministries that I mentioned in our church, you know, earlier, who have been serving safely and effectively via virtual means throughout the pandemic, it might inspire you to use your God-given gifts to join or create a worship group, you know, for others in your area of interest. Because, Holding the High Watch, that was somebody's idea. You know, the book club was somebody's idea. Okay, we call those small group ministries. That when you do that and you bring people in, you know, Course of Miracles was somebody's idea. So when you do that and you bring that group and others into your group, you actually are creating worship for them by all of you being together. And explains in a revealing word, it says, when you worship, you bestow your love on the things of Spirit. When you worship, you identify yourself with the things of Spirit. Worship represents the efforts of the one worshiping to sustain a right mental attitude towards God. Okay, so it is supportive to your own spiritual awakening. It is supportive to your own spiritual awakening to be part of a church family that is working together towards a common goal of establishing a consciousness of oneness, even in this new virtual church structure that may, you know, look and feel very different from what we have been used to, you know, traditionally used to, okay? But so many things in our lives are different now than what we were used to, okay? And not only, you know, has it caused us to feel sometimes disconnected from each other, we have even had a feeling or a sense of disconnect within our own selves, right? And it can be hard to find God in the shattered pieces of what was previously, okay, and getting used to what seems to be happening now. And that's the thing we want to be able to do is how do I become settled in this new unfolding world I'm finding myself in. But again, little Maddie, at the age of 4, heard the beating of his own heart and discovered something special inside himself. So he stopped his mother and he asked, he said, listen to my heart. He said, shh, shh, listen. That is my heart song. And this is what he wrote later about that. He said, a heart song is like your inner message. It is your inner beauty, which you are meant to do in life. I mean, we are one little piece of the whole right now, but we have shattered the pieces. Scattered. Thank you, hon. We have scattered the pieces. If we took the time to hear our heart song, our inner beauty, the message of what we are here to do in this life, we could put all the pieces back together, and it would be just wonderful, right? From little Maddie, just incredible words of wisdom. And this, you know, this is a gift that little Maddie brought to the world. We all have our own unique gift to express, okay? It, and don't make, try to make it look like somebody else's gift. We want to find our own unique gift. And like I said, it may not be making bestseller books and so forth. It may be just right in your own little world that you are sharing this gift that brings joy to people, you know, people's hearts. So I'm going to leave you with this affirmation. Okay? It says, I recognize God's life responding to me from every person I meet and every event that transpires and every circumstance in my experience. And in each of these circumstances, God seeks to express through me in a little different way than anyone else. And just try to remember that. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have a meditation with Pamela.
So let us begin by taking a moment to sit comfortably. Let your body settle into a comfortable position. Lengthen your spine and soften your shoulders and your jaws. You may close your eyes or shift your gaze downward. Breathe at a rhythm that feels good to you. Just breathe, relax, and allow these next few moments to calm and rejuvenate you. No matter where you are or how your day started, take time now to pause. Let this quiet moment and the rest of your day flow from a more peaceful place. Take a deep breath and feel your body relaxing. Breathe deeply again, and if you feel tension, silently invite your body to release and let go. Continue to notice your breath and be aware of your body as it relaxes. As you quiet your mind and relax your body, you find that place of deep peace within you. Please take the following words as your very own. In this moment of stillness, I turn to the tranquil presence within me. I open to the peace that passes all understanding. I allow my heart and mind to be open, receptive, and free of limiting thoughts. I am safe. I am awake to the wisdom and the beauty that is within me. I have chosen in this moment to feel balanced and peaceful. I breathe and I am thankful that I am being kind to myself, allowing any fear or worry to be suspended in this moment. I fill that space with pure love. In these few precious moments, a whole new day has dawned within me. Prepare your mind now to move to the consciousness of the secret place of the Most High for communion and prayer with spirit. Take a deep breath now and come back fully present, fully aware of your surroundings and the peace you feel from within. For all our blessings, we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. We hope you found your experience with Unity Center of Light a meaningful one. Have a blessed and beautiful day.
That was great. You guys might have heard the phone go off. That happens very rarely, but one of the things we forgot to turn off before we got started. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. We always extend our gratefulness for all of the wonderful gifts that you've been sending and, you know, supporting this center as we go through these times of virtual church and trying to figure out what is our next step in church experience in general. But we hope that we are fulfilling you spiritually with all that we're doing now. So holding your offering in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, let's do our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. And now, and you have some light notes.
Yes. The discussion group on the booklet Worthy put out by Unity Village has started this week. And the next one will be on October the 20th. It's from 7 to 8 p.m. So see your newsletter for the Zoom link. The book club is reading the book Stillness is the Key. And November 14th is the discussion date. So please check your link in the updates. Please join us for another Courageous Conversations with Reverend Michelle Sinegal on Sunday, October 31st, following the Zoom fellowship. Michelle will facilitate our journey through effective listening skills, clear and compassionate communication, and more. And our theme for our 30th anniversary is 30 for 30, giving back and giving forward. We like to support our local food pantry and would like to show this support by asking those who are able to make a gift to Unity Center of Light of $30 and designate it for the food pantry. And 30 for 30 giving forward is to donate to our center, $30, if you are able, and make it payable to the Unity Center of Light for the future of our center. One of our Unity Center of Light family members has graciously and generously offered to anonymously match your donation of $30 to the food pantry and $30 to the Unity Center of Light, up to $60. So please be sure to mark your donation and let us know what your intention is and where we should put it, because the donor wants to match what you give. And that's it for announcements.
All right. So we've come to that point where we're going to bless the path that we walk this week.
Yes. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. We're going to go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We look forward to seeing you in the Zoom fellowship right after this. And otherwise, we ask you to have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Blessings.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.